White, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, February 16, 1904. My dear son Willie, I was pleased to receive your letter of February 9th, which came yesterday, also the copy of your letter to Elder Knox, dated February 10th. I shall not worry over the purchase of the sanitarium property in San Diego. I have felt so grieved by the way in which some of the brethren in Southern California have held back in regard to this matter, that I am willing, in connection with you, to take all the responsibility in regard to the Potts Sanitarium. Elder Healy and Elder Santee need have no part nor lot in the matter. I know that we can manage the business without them. I have written to Dr. Whitelock to move steadily forward in carrying out the plans decided upon before you left, and my mind is now at rest, for I have done all that I possibly can. I am determined to carry the work forward in accordance with the will of the Lord. I believe that He would have the matter stand where neither Elder Healy nor Elder Santee will have the control or the management of the sanitarium. Those who are merely figuring for themselves may do it outside of the work that we are trying to carry forward upon a higher plane than they are prepared to stand on. I think that Sister Gottsian and I will harmonize in regard to the business matters. You need not worry. You may leave the burden of the work with me. In your absence, I will take it and will do the best I can. I cannot finish your letter today, or the one that I have written to Elders Daniels and Prescott in regard to the work in Washington, but I will send what I have. Last night I sent you a letter in which I said something about the work in Washington. I had hoped, Willie, that I should not again be brought in connection with Sister Rousseau and Sister Tuxford, for whom I have had many testimonies. I hope that these sisters, who have never studied economy, but have spent their means largely for themselves, will not be allowed to influence the plans laid for the buildings to be put up. They are not prepared to work on economical lines. They have not learned to produce as well as to consume. They are both in need of reconversion, and the thought of their being connected with the work in Washington brings a shivering dread over me. I shall take special pains to give all the instruction that we are to be producers as well as consumers. We are not to encourage a large expenditure of money for dress. Sister Tuxford and Sister Rousseau, and especially the latter, are inclined to spend much for dress. Far better might they spend less in this way, and use the money thus saved in helping those who need help. We cannot afford to speak as the world speaks, or to dress as the world dresses. We cannot afford to encourage extravagance in the furnishing of our institutions. It is not the outward apparel that determines the value of God's children. He asks whether they have the inward adorning, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And he says plainly that women are to clothe themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. I am afraid of Sister Rousseau's influence. I am afraid of her words or her display. I fear that she will lead others into wrong paths. We need so much to study the words of the Divine Teacher. We need so much to walk humbly with God. I must say of these sisters that unless they undergo a most thorough transformation of character, they will fall short of the standard that Christ has set before them, and will lead others into false paths, causing them to make shipwreck of the faith. Sister Rousseau and Sister Tuxford have been long in the truth, and they ought to have learned the lessons of self-denial, which is so essential for all. They ought to have heeded the warnings and directions of God's word and obtained the garment which all who are saved must have, the robe of Christ's righteousness. If any man will come after me, Christ says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. So shall he be my disciple. See John 15, verse 8. Let the work of purification begin in the heart and extend outward till the whole being is sanctified, cleansed, and refined. I have been given this message to bear. We might just as well deal with the real merits of the case first as last. It must be plainly understood that those who live in an atmosphere of pride and display are not to be connected with the institutions to be established in Washington. The work in this place must be begun right, in accordance with the principles of God's Word.
I write this because I know that the influence exerted by Sister Rousseau and Sister Tuxford is misleading and needs to be changed. I do not want to place any burden on you, but I wish to tell you that you are at liberty to make known to whomsoever you may see fit that which I have written you regarding Sister Rousseau and Sister Tuxford. If you think best, you may let these sisters see what I have written. In love.